Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hi, welcome to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Today on Hot Grease, we'll be talking Hurricane Sandy and Sweet Home. But first up, food headlines, more so not food headlines, just, you know, a few minutes, more than a few minutes dedicated to what's happening with Hurricane Sandy here in New York City or the Northeast. First of all, I have to say I am honored to be a part of Heritage Radio Network, who's done a superb job over the last few days of telling the stories of people in the New York City food community who've been affected by Sandy. If you go to our website, we have a ton of interviews from people who have businesses in Red Hook, such as Ann Saxelby, who had had a cheese cave there, Seersucker. They actually don't have a business in Red Hook, but they're located in Carroll Gardens, you know, a few blocks from an area that was completely devastated by that. So shout out to Jack and Aaron and Patrick for really coming together very quickly to really tell the story of the food community and how we've been affected by Hurricane Sandy. I actually went to and volunteered for about 8 hours on Saturday at Red Hook Initiative. It's a community-based or grassroots organization that's based in Red Hook, Brooklyn. I must say Red Hook, Brooklyn, for people who are listening and are like, what's Red Hook? It is a neighborhood that's actually in Brooklyn, closest to the water. But Red Hook Initiative is a nonprofit organization. They've been around for 10 years, and they essentially became the central hub of, you know, all the volunteer efforts, feeding supplies in Red Hook. And I was there for about 8 hours. I spent the first 2 hours actually doing canvassing, meaning getting in pairs, knocking on doors and asking people and reminding them that Red Hook Initiative were doing meals. They still are serving meals twice a day, hot meals, to anyone who needs food and have been affected by Hurricane Sandy. And also asking like a basic question, is there anything that you need? Do you need volunteers? Do you need a blanket? Is someone in this house homebound? I think what a lot of people don't realize about Red Hook is that you have Red Hook Homes. It is the second largest public housing in New York City. So there are still, you know, hundreds of people who, I'm not going to say hundreds, but there are definitely at least 100 people or more, all homebound, that are still in their apartment in Red Hook Homes. They never left. And I hear a lot of people saying, why didn't they leave? A lot of these are seniors who are homebound, who did not even really have the ability to be able to get in a car, or, you know, they're in a wheelchair. So I was just really blown away. And that was just even being in Red Hook. I've seen the pictures and I've seen other people tweet and Facebook about volunteering in the Rockaways and Staten Island and all the devastation. But just the mere thought, the work that I was doing, canvassing door to door and in the office at Red Hook Initiative, of the people who literally don't have food to eat because they can't cook food, or they're, you know, they need a blanket or what have you. So if you're listening and if you live in Brooklyn, please, please get involved. Donate money, but also to donate your hands. People really, really need help. And for folks who are outside of the city, I'm hearing everybody saying donate to the Red Cross. I am so not with that. I think that there's so many organizations that are right on the ground, like doing work, like doing serious work. So if you can find an organization, a church, a nonprofit that's already embedded in the community and already has relationships, I would say give money to them. Another update is that I've talked about them a million times on the show. They've been on the show. Monica Bryan, who's the owner of Homemade Brooklyn, who's in Red Hook. I would have to say Homemade is probably my favorite place to have brunch in all of Brooklyn. Her store is completely, not even store, it's more so her restaurant is completely destroyed. They just, you know, rebounded back from a fire. I went by there. I saw her. She had tons of volunteers helping her, you know, pull up furniture and, you know, just basically clean up. And she mentioned that she was on her way to a meeting about a fundraiser for Red Hook. So there are a lot of things that's going on and happening around Hurricane Sandy, and that people can plug in. So, you know, I'm really, really keeping Monica in my thoughts. And I hope Homemade and all of the businesses along Van Brunt and in Red Hook can rebound. And lastly, one of my guests who's actually going to be on today's show, who runs an incredible business all about Southern food, mail ordering Southern food out to people all over the country. Sadly, she is not on the show because she lost her house. She lives in Long Island and she has absolutely nothing. I don't want to say her name because we haven't had a conversation about blasting that, but I am, just so disturbed by that and looking forward to getting together with, some of my closest colleagues in the food world and helping her out in some way. But yeah, she was supposed to be on the show today and she's not on the show because, you know, she was really, really affected by Hurricane Sandy. So again, I'm sending out my personal prayers to all of the folks all over the Northeast who've lost life, people who've lost money, and hoping that, you know, normalcy will come around very quickly for folks. And if you want to tune in more and hear more about Hurricane Sandy, I would say go on Twitter, check out Heritage_Radio's Twitter feed. A lot of tweeting has been happening there. And listen to some of our stories, some of our shows. We are going to take a break and we're going to come back and we're going to talk Sweet Home. Keep listening.
You're listening to I'm Not Gonna Cry by HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Today on the phone, we have Rebecca Miller French, author of Sweet Home, over 100 heritage desserts and ideas for preserving family recipes. Rebecca, welcome to Hot Grease.
Hi, thank you so much.
So first of all, I have to ask you, I just spent about 10 minutes of the show talking about Hurricane Sandy and what we've been doing here at HRN. Are you okay? Is your family fine? And I think you live in Connecticut, right?
Well, we're in upstate New York, and actually it was probably the worst patch, like our three neighbors. We had about 20 trees down in our yard.
Wow.
So we had, you know, electric lines and, you know, no power till just this past Saturday, but, you know, it's nothing compared to what so many people have experienced.
Yeah, it's really, It's really, I think, I mean, you know, speaking of your cookbook and cooking, you know, a few days prior to Hurricane Sandy actually touching down in the Northeast, I was like, oh, let me go through my cookbooks. And so many people were online tweeting it on Facebook. And I must say, this will put a smile on your face, that I made your cinnamon buns, your sinful cinnamon buns. I was like, let me make something very comforting before we, you know, lose power. And I put it on Twitter and Facebook, and people actually went crazy. I put about four pictures. I put a picture of, you know, the dough rising and the finished product. So I will say,
wow, I will have to check it out.
Yeah.
But then the lights went out and then they couldn't make them themselves.
I know, right?
You were taunting them.
Yeah, the sinful cinnamon buns. That's exactly what I made. I have to ask you this, though. There's one thing in that recipe that I really have never used in cinnamon buns, and that's the vital wheat gluten. What is that?
Vital wheat gluten, it just, you know, it helps with, I think, the rising, and, you know, it just, it's you know, I get it from King Arthur, you can get it, you know, there are some other, it's hard to find in the grocery stores, you can sometimes get it from Bob's Red Mill, you know, it's a protein, it improves the texture.
Okay, so I didn't use that, and I mean, I see Bob's Red Mill all the time. They sell it everywhere, it seems like. They're becoming really popular now.
They do. They have lots of good, you know.
So I didn't use it. I mean, the dough did rise really well. The cinnamon rolls were great, but I guess next time I'll make sure that I put a tablespoon in there.
Yeah, you know, it's just a little extra gluten to help them rise a little more. I mean, I really don't think it's, you know, of course, you can make bread without it. It's just a little addition, you know, something that helps it along.
It is. So, I mean, you know, speaking of all the cooking that was happening over the weekend, you know, during pre and post this, you know, terrible disaster. This actually is the time, don't you think, when people kind of get in the kitchen from like now until what, March or February?
Yeah. No, I mean, fall really is a great time for baking. And I think that people, you know, I talked to a couple from Montclair, and, you know, the lights power was out down there. And she said they had 30 people at the dining table, you know, all lined up with their office, you know, their computers and their phones, you know, everybody was working simultaneously, and that the woman had, you know, soup and spaghetti and meatballs on the stove for everyone. And, you know, I think those comforting foods, you know, and with the desserts, you know, pumpkin bread and muffins and apple tarts and crisps and pies, you know, it's not like summer and you want to be in a bikini, so people are a little...
Exactly. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk more of your new book, Sweet Home.
Okay, thank you.
Listeners, keep listening. We'll be right back with Rebecca French.
Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit www.surreyfarms.com.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Remember, you can check all of my show archives right on heritageradionetwork.org. If you're tuning in live to Hot Grease and you just clicked listen, I'm chatting with Rebecca French today. She's the author of Sweet Home and a former contributing writer for Condé Nast's old defunct Cookie magazine. I actually love that magazine.
Oh, Rebecca, wasn't that sad?
It was a great magazine. Speaking of greatness and happiness, We're what, like 13 days away, Rebecca, from Thanksgiving? Can you believe that?
No, I cannot. I cannot. It's crazy. We just, you know, time went back, and now it's time for Thanksgiving.
So I'm always, every year, I'm thinking, how can I plan in advance, and particularly with desserts? What recommendations do you have for people who picked up your new book or people who are just going to make a bunch of desserts for Thanksgiving? What do you suggest they do? At least they do now.
So, I mean, some of the best things, it's funny because my niece, they have a big holiday party, and she's already telling me now all the different doughs that she's putting in the freezer. So I think, you know, for Thanksgiving, you still have time. You can make cookie doughs, pie dough. You can freeze whole pies, you know, and then you can put them in the oven. And then it's all done, you know, and then you can worry about your turkey. You can, you know, you just stick that pie in the oven. I think making, if you have a pie, say, that doesn't turn out, say you're, you know, you have a pumpkin pie and for some reason it doesn't look so pretty, others, you know, little tricks you can do is make a parfait out of those. Put it in a trifle bowl. Layer that pumpkin pie with whipped cream or, you know, take apple crisp and, you know, you can kind of kick it up a notch, make it a little elegant with, again, in a trifle bowl or individual parfait glasses. You know, but I think, I really think freezing is the key. You know, you can make your list, buy your ingredients in advance, you know, have everything ready to go.
Great advice. Yeah. Now, so I know one of the things that I do, you know, a few weeks or a few days before Thanksgiving is I pull out all my favorite books. And in your new book, I love that it's just not recipes. You have one chapter, and it's chapter 3. It's called Giving. How did you come up with this whole concept of, you know, titling a chapter preserving and celebrating giving and creating?
Well, because the book really is based on a collection of my recipes, and it's kind of how they divide up in my life. You know, preserving, those were recipes, a lot of them from my grandmother, my great-grandmother's journal, and that's what really inspired the whole book. So I had that collection as my base, and I hope with those recipes to inspire other people to preserve their own recipes. So they've got, you know, a great cookie recipe or a shortbread recipe, you know, and it's never been written down. You know, this is a time of year when you're together with relatives. Get that person in the kitchen, force them to measure if they don't, and write down that recipe. Because if, you know, if they're gone, then so is the recipe. So, you know, with the preserving chapter, that was really my hope, and, you know, I hope to inspire people. With the celebrating chapter, so that's where a lot of our family recipes, you know, they're for birthdays and celebrations and Easter and Christmas. So that's where those recipes are really highlighted and ways to, you know, really make an occasion special, how to set the table, you know, just little tips and tricks and, you know, using cake stands or banners. And then with giving, this time of year, this is a really great chapter because it gives ideas for ways to package baked goods and baked goods that, you know, chocolate Kahlua pound cake, the cardamom cake, which is so aromatic, you know, those last a little longer. You know, in my mind, I feel baked goods should really be eaten within, you know, a day or two. But these last, you know, these can be sent in the mail. So, you know, ways of packaging the pistachio pound cake with a little bag of pistachios in the recipe.
Yeah, you do something very different at the beginning of the chapter. I mean, you write an essay, definitely, but you actually basically give us a checklist or, you know, 10 ideas, you know, how to personalize and package baked goods. Now, a lot of times, you know, people bake a bunch of cookies or they'll do the mini pound cake that you have in here, but you actually say personalize a tray. And could you talk a little bit about in the next chapter under creating, you have some really great tips on how to create your own food story. Just share with our listeners, because I really think this is something that's really special.
Well, because I feel that not everybody has that food story. You know, not everybody has a recipe-rich family where they can call their grandmother or, you know, great uncle and say, please, you know, share those recipes. So if you don't have that, you know, you can really start now. You can, you know, take a food class, you know, if you're Italian baking, or you can travel to an area of Scandinavia and, you know, discover your heritage. You know, do some research and really find out, you know, try and discover your roots, or, you know, you don't even have to. You can just start now. Places you travel to that you enjoy that may have no connection to your history, but they really tell, you know, they'll tell your children or your family and friends about who you are, because these are places you've gone. And so ways to record, you know, record those. You can, you know, take videos. You can make books. You know, there are many different ways.
Love it. So I have to tell you, I'm so excited. I've dog-eared all the things that I want to make. I wanted to share with you a few of them. The pear cranberry crumb tart. I'm so excited about that.
That's perfect for Thanksgiving. It's got some ginger in it, some cranberry chutney. Yeah.
Explain this to me. I'm trying to figure that out. The cloudberry crumb cake or cones.
Those.
Tell me more. And also tell me about this little, you have to buy this. I don't know what, is this a device?
It is, unfortunately. You know what? It's a lot like a Pizzelle iron,
okay,
but it's Norwegian. And you can get it from Nordicware, nordicware.com. I think they even have it on Amazon. And they have electric ones, but my grandmother, the one she gave me, was this one with a short little handle that she actually had an electric stove. She did it over an electric stove. And, you know, this is part of the book, is really trying to stand, you know, next to the person from whom the recipe you want to learn, you know, is from, and have them show you how to do it. I had my grandmother on speakerphone.
Wow.
Because she had given me that after I had come back from Norway. And but she, you know, I had learned many other things from her except for those crumb cake. And they were kind of tricky to master. But and then cloudberries. They're a little, you know, it's a subarctic berry. They're very, I've never seen them in the U.S. I know a food stylist who had tried to import them, and he said by the time they came in, you know, they weren't even usable. But they have a, but that's why you can, but you can buy the preserves, you know, so I'm not setting you up to for some ingredient you can't find. They have cloudberry preserves. You know, you can get them at a Scandinavian Supply, or even IKEA has them.
And oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. No, and they're really, they're a crunchy, golden, it looks almost like a golden raspberry, but not as sweet. It's a really different taste, very delicate.
Cool. Well, yeah. I'm excited. I definitely think people who are listening, they should definitely pick up Sweet Home for the recipes, and also really just a guide in how to preserve, how to really connect with family and friends or create your own traditions. So congrats on your book coming out, Rebecca.
Oh, thank you so much.
And for folks who are listening, I know that you have a Facebook page and a blog and all that stuff. Share that with our listeners.
Yes, sweet-home.com is the blog. I'm just actually posting a pie crust recipe and Mile High apple crumb pie, so that'll be up shortly. And Facebook is the blog, Sweet Home. And, yeah, the book, you know, it's a great gift for the holidays, too. It's a, you know, bond with family, so.
Thank you so much, Rebecca, for coming on Hot Grease. And have a great holiday season.
You, too. Happy Thanksgiving, and thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank
you. Talking with you.
Thank you. Have a great one. Listeners, keep listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. My show is being engineered today by Joe G. Let me give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York. The location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. Yeah, and if you have a car, come out to Roberta's. I've never seen Roberta's this dead. There's no L or nor G train running in Brooklyn, so it's kind of difficult to get here. So come out. So I just want to take the last few minutes. I just shouted out Roberta saying come out to Roberta's. But just to give folks who are listening again a reminder of things that you personally can do to help particularly people in the food community and people just in general who've been affected by Hurricane Sandy. Come to Roberta's, definitely, if you can. But also, too, out of the ashes, Dine Out NYC was born. It all started on Twitter. I saw that. So if you go, if you're on Twitter, you can go to the hashtag Dine Out NYC. And I also know that they started, they have a Facebook up, Dine Out NYC as well, where they are encouraging people to dine out in New York City, particularly in Lower Manhattan, where, you know, from people from the chef to the owners to the dishwasher to the busboy to the barbacks, probably have not worked in the last week. So they're doing this huge push online and beyond to tell people to dine out. That is one of probably the easiest way to help people. And I also say, in addition to that, tip a little extra. Tip extra to folks in restaurants, particularly ones that were closed over a week. People really need it. You know, the restaurant industry is a very difficult and tough industry. And when people don't eat, folks don't get paid. So my other thing that's happening tonight, the good folks, Carrie and Rob over at Seersucker Brooklyn, they're located in Carroll Gardens on Smith Street. Starting from 6 until they run out, they are selling little pork sandwiches, sliders for $10, and all of the money will go to Red Hook Initiative. So if you're around in Brooklyn and you want to do something positive, go by the and see the good folks at Seersucker, get a sandwich, and they're sending all the money to Red Hook Initiative. So that's it, folks. Hang in there with us. Keep all the folks in the food industry and just regular everyday people in your thoughts. And we're going to get through this, New York City, New Jersey, and all the places that were affected by Hurricane Sandy. Listeners, you can join me here next Monday. We're going to be talking Thanksgiving, more Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving is here. I'll be here next Monday, live 3:30 Eastern Time on heritageradionetwork.org. But until then, always take the road less traveled.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening. Heritage Radio Network is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.